content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
You're listening to America's Web Radio. It's time now for the Doctor's Lounge Show with Dr. Scott Barber.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Doctor's Lounge. I'm Dr. Scott Barber, and you're listening to me on America's Web Radio. Today, we're going to pick up where we left off the last couple of shows, talking about this world that we live in, this age of science, experts, misinformation, disinformation, best practices, hate speech, and how all of these are being employed to threaten our ability to think freely and seek out objective truth. We are constantly being propagandized by government three-letter organizations like the WHO, the CDC, the FDA, big business, and many others to push narratives and force behavior that empower the state and threaten our freedoms. I've been trying to show you in their own voices how they tell us one thing, do another, and how in the end we're the ones that get screwed. And unless we learn how to open our minds and how to continue to think freely and how to seek out objective truth in this new world order, this brave new world that George Orwell wrote about in the late 40s. I remember reading that book in 1983, his book 1984, and my friends and I talking about how none of this could happen. And here, 35, 40 years later, it's happening right in front of our eyes. And I think if any of you were unfortunate enough to watch that debate the other night between former President Trump and Vice President Harris, I think that you were introduced or at least demonstrated how all of these narrative-producing entities are trying to brainwash us. And it's getting more and more frustrating. Now, this show is about healthcare, and what got me interested in doing things like this was my passion for free market healthcare, my over 35 years in healthcare, understanding just how important it is that a traditional doctor-patient relationship where the doctor's fidelity is directly to the patient is so important for maintaining our health and helping us seek out the best medical care. And over the course of my career, as government has become more and more obtrusive, and with the passage of Obamacare has essentially taken over our healthcare, I've seen dramatic decline. And I know that proponents of a government-run healthcare system, like President or Vice President Harris is, she wants to eliminate health insurance and implement a Medicare for all system. I have seen that as the government gains more control of healthcare, people don't get better access to healthcare. You don't have more people gaining access to healthcare. All you're doing is preventing people from accessing healthcare at all. The other thing it has done is it's destroyed the quality of medicine. Without an army of doctors out there studying, working, practicing, and pushing medicine forward, we see a decline in healthcare. For example, if I want to go and study something that the government doesn't want me to study, I can't get funding. They won't let me go there. And it basically ends any research into that particular area. And I know a lot of people these days are seeing things, as I am on social media and others, about how a lot of medicines out there are treating cancers. And I'm not here to have an opinion on that one way or another. I haven't researched it enough. But after my experience through COVID and all that went on there that we have chronicled on this show, I'm certainly curious about what sort of medical advances we could be experiencing right now if we truly lived in a free country. Now, we see the World Economic Forum is talking about issuing digital currency. That would be a death blow to freedom-loving Americans' lives. If the government controlled your wealth, your money, in a digital currency form so that they could control where and when and what you spent your money on, that would be incredibly threatening to our freedoms. We have the World Economic Forum and others, the World Health Organization and the CDC talking about vaccine passports. They are so passionate about forcing everybody to receive these vaccinations. And as my first demonstration of free independent thought. Vaccines to me are not an all or nothing proposition. I believe some vaccines are effective and useful and necessary, and I have questions about other vaccines. As a free-thinking individual, as a doctor, there are over 70 vaccines on the vaccine schedule. And I, for one, have a question about why is the COVID vaccine on the schedule for young kids? The data is out, and we know that young people are generally immune or all but immune to the COVID virus, that the COVID virus poses very little threat to school-age children. And we also know more and more data is coming out that the COVID vaccines are not only ineffective, but they do have side effects, myocarditis being well documented. I know all of us are curious about all of the professional athletes we see collapsing on the fields around the world, especially in professional soccer and others. We've seen a lot of these young athletes. There's a Canadian pole vaulter, among many others, that seem to die young, and they talk about it one day, and then that's it. And then we never hear about it again. And that leads me to ask questions. Now, I was watching some of the debate the other night, and honestly, I lasted a couple of minutes, and I just couldn't take it with the lying and the bias towards Vice President Harris. Now, I remember being a young person and watching debates going back 30, 40, 50 years, and watching these debaters on TV and asking myself as a young, innocent, ignorant person, why are we always conducting these debates on the left-wing networks? How come we never have debate moderators that lean to the right? And I know a lot of you out there will be saying, well, they had that one on Fox News. Yeah, I said ones that lean to the right. Fox News is no different than any of the other media companies. They are pushing a narrative, and they are not endeavoring to get us the truth, and I'm going to prove it to you today. Now, there's a famous North Korean defector. Her name is Yeonmi Park, and she escaped North Korea, got to South Korea, and she has written many books on the subject. She's very articulate about her experiences and understanding the benefits that the West has in terms of our freedoms that are culturally embedded in the Western culture. She talks about the fact that when she first escaped North Korea and they asked her about freedom, she didn't even understand the concept. She said there is no concept of freedom in North Korea. She's a very impressive young lady. And she had something to say. Now, she's been working with the Charlie Kirk Show, and I got this campaign ad off of her Twitter feed. And I want you guys to listen to this campaign ad that was posted on the Charlie Kirk show.
They gushed over her for a week. And what did we learn? Almost nothing. They don't want Kamala's own supporters to know who she really is. The Media Research Center just polled registered Democrats and independents who voted for Joe Biden. 86% didn't know that Kamala Harris would consider allowing death row inmates to vote.
People who are convicted in prison, like the Boston Marathon bomber, on death row, people who are convicted of sexual assault, they should be able to vote?
I think we should have that conversation.
81% didn't know that Harris wanted to eliminate private health insurance.
Let's eliminate all of that.
78% didn't know that Harris promoted a fund to bail out violent BLM rioters in 2020.
They're not going to let up, and they should not.
77% had never heard that Biden's border czar, Kamala Harris, actually wants to abolish ICE.
And we need to probably think about starting from scratch.
Even worse, Harris wants to open our borders even wider. 74% were completely unaware that Kamala believes it shouldn't be a crime to enter the U.S. illegally.
An undocumented immigrant is not a criminal. An undocumented immigrant is not a criminal. An undocumented immigrant is not a criminal.
73% had no idea she co-sponsored the job-killing Green New Deal.
I am prepared to get rid of the filibuster to pass a Green New Deal.
71% didn't know Harris supported defund the police or that she supported reparations.
We need to reimagine how we are creating safety.
They're hiding Kamala because...
You know, it's interesting to me. They talk about things. I noticed she was saying in the debate that she was warning Trump is going to affect our traditional norms of how we conduct society. They're always trying to spout this, our democracy and norms and things. Well, the filibuster is a norm, and she's talking about eliminating the filibuster so that she can pass a radical Green New Deal policies, okay? The left is constantly engaging in projection where they accuse the other side of exactly what they're doing. And it's just laughable to me. I didn't notice any questions during the debate about Donald Trump being indicted like 900 times, you know, over things that he's constantly getting acquitted of. And it just looks like obvious lawfare. And it also seems like something that may be slightly relevant to the debate and to the decisions that people are going to be making about their lives. And yet it never comes up throughout debate. Instead, President Trump or former President Trump was debating all three of them up there. You also look at the fact that one of the moderators is Kamala Harris's sorority sister. I mean, this stuff is so laughable. You can't even make it up, but it's not funny because these behaviors, the way that they're conducting themselves, is having real effects on our lives. That's why our healthcare has been decimated during the course of my lifetime. And I'm committed to reinstituting free market healthcare, to restoring the traditional norms of the doctor-patient relationship and getting the state out of the decisions that people make regarding their own lives. We also need to stop being force-fed government healthcare in terms of medications, vaccinations, and things that they want us to do. I would like to have discussions with my doctor, and I would like to make decisions about the things that I do regarding my health with my own body and that of my children's. And this is ridiculous that we are constantly being beaten over the head with this stuff. The purpose of me doing this show is I want to put together information to help open your eyes and help getting everyone to engage in independent free thinking and to rationally think about all of the issues that affect your life, right? We want to live in a society where we are free. We are free to think. We are free to make our own decisions. We are free to pursue whatever plan God has in store for us and not constantly being attacked by a government. And I don't care whether that government is a big business government, our country's government. Definitely don't want to be affected by any three-letter world agencies like the WHO or any of these other transnational organizations that are constantly trying to interfere in our lives. And I'm going to show you some of that stuff. I'm really going to try and concentrate this show today to put all of their lies, all of their misrepresentations, all of their propagandizing that they're constantly doing to us to try and shape a narrative.
They don't even want their own voters to hear about any of this. This isn't about transparency or democracy. It's about staying in power. Former Obama official Michael McFaul admitted this. The paramount objective for Kamala Harris is to win this election. If a press conference helps her win, she should do it. If not, she shouldn't do it. It's just that simple. Translation. Speaking without a script won't help Kamala Harris win. Talking to voters won't help her win. Explaining her Marxist beliefs about equality of outcome won't help her win. That's what Harris's handlers believe. Kamala Harris is a left of California radical who's been reduced to hiding from her own voters and repeating the same stump speeches over and over again, verbatim.
Boy, it's good to be back in Pennsylvania. It really is good to be back in Wisconsin. It is so good to be back in Michigan. I am clear. The path to the White House runs right through this state. And listen, I am clear. The path to the White House runs right through this state.
The more she hides, the more the American people can see right through her.
All right, so that was just a little taste of the campaign ad that was posted on the Charlie Kirk Show. Now, I got this off of Yanmi Park's Twitter feed, or I guess I should say X feed. She also has some important other things to talk about in terms of her observations about what's happening in this country, and I want you to listen to Yanmi Park.
Tyranny always comes in the name of compassion and equality of outcomes. When I was at Columbia, they are brainwashing my classmates saying education should be free. Healthcare is a human right. How unfair is it that there are billionaires and there are homeless people? It should be we are all equal. This same idea began the living hell of North Korea.
So she's talking about what it was like in North Korea and how they talk about equalities of outcome and that things like healthcare should be a human right. And we have to all understand as independent thinkers, you cannot have a human right that compels another person to work for you. That's simply antithetical to the whole concept of freedom. The other thing, when they talk about the fact that life isn't fair, I mean, everybody's parents have explained to them life isn't fair, right? The idea that government is somehow going to make things fair is ridiculous, okay? Government, these people are not only incapable, they don't want to help you. Their job is to help themselves and their friends, and that is what you have to understand. When they come bearing gifts, oh, we're going to provide you free healthcare, they're not doing that. They're helping themselves obtain money and power, and at the end of the day, we're the ones who get screwed on in terms of our healthcare.
When Kim Il-sung came to my grandmother's and my grandfather, he said these two exact things to us. How unfair is that? They are landowners. They are capitalists. And how unfair is that your children cannot be educated? You need to pay for it. If you give me the power, Kim Il-sung said, I'm going to make everything free. Government was going to provide everything for us. If we just gave up our private property, our freedom of speech, our freedom of movement.
You see that? They're talking about the government promising to give you free this and free that. Does that sound familiar? They want government-run education. They want government-run healthcare, and they tell you it's free. Now, anybody with even a rudimentary understanding of economics understands that nothing is ever free. The only thing that changes is who pays. Okay? And there's nothing wrong with the fact that goods and services cost money. Because in order to get goods and services, you're compelling another person to do something. Food and shelter and clothing and things like that, healthcare, education, they don't just appear out of the mist. Somebody has to work to provide that. And so you are compelling another person to do something. And when the government does it, they do it at the point of a gun. Because the way things start out is they confiscate money from the people who have it and they redistribute it in ways that they see fit. Now, of course, they're always taking their cut off the top, and that cut gets bigger and bigger. And this is what's going on in Ukraine. We saw some questions about Ukraine, you know, who do you want to win and all this stuff, trying to force Trump into some sort of soundbite where they're going to try and twist it to make it sound like he wants to support Vladimir Putin, because that's the projection that they do, is this whole narrative that somehow Trump is a Putin puppet, right? But what Trump correctly said was, I want the war to end because we don't want to be in this war. And I have questions just as a taxpayer. Where's the money going? Who's it going to? Can I see an itemized list of that stuff? And they tell me to shut up and follow the science and listen to the experts and stop spreading hate speech and misinformation. Do any of you know where the money is going in Ukraine? And I have a question about that. For that matter, does anybody even know what's happening in Ukraine? They give us this rudimentary, oh, Russia invaded Ukraine, and that's the end of the story. Okay? But, you know, we do know that there are corrupt things going on in Ukraine. Dan Bongino has written books on it. Follow the Money is a chapter in one of his books where he talks about the fact that Hunter Biden is got a no-show job at Burisma Oil Company. And, you know, we can go on and on into that stuff. And that's not even the point with me. The point I'm trying to make is that government not only can't help you, they won't help you. And that they can't do anything for somebody else without doing something to somebody else first, right? They can't give away anything to somebody without forcing somebody else to do something. Now, in the beginning, with a prosperous country like the United States, they confiscate the wealth of the people who have it. Eventually, producers realize that they get nothing for producing, and so they stop producing. And then when you need things, the government then turns to force, right? They no longer compel people to do it. They force you to do it. Now, I want you to kind of understand the world that we live in and understand that this is not some theoretical concept that's going to happen in the future. When, you know, when I read 1984 back in 1983, a lot of this was going on. I just didn't recognize it. I was young and inexperienced and not very well read at that time. But I am now. And I can see that we're not on our way to this sort of totalitarian dystopian future. It's already here. And I'm going to prove it to you. Now, I know I've played this before, but it's really important. And I'm really trying to connect the dots. And honestly, I'm always biting off more than I can chew. I can already see I'm 21 minutes into the show and I haven't even gotten started. But I want to play you this Berkeley Law professor. Okay, Berkeley Law professor. So this person is educating the future lawyers that are going to be coming in the near future, right? And she's teaching them and educating them and basically showing them how to act. And listen, these lawyers are going to be the type of people that are going to be committing lawfare against Trump and a whole bunch of other people, Steve Bannon, Peter Navarro, people praying outside abortion centers, people that go to school board meetings and say, hey, I have questions about letting the boys in the girls' bathroom. And these are the people that our law enforcement agencies, the FBI, are attacking. Okay. And then when I got to listen to Kamala Harris talking about following traditional norms, it's like, are you kidding me? And I just want people to be able to understand and think for themselves, because at the end of the day, I'm a doctor. And as I've always said to people, you know, oh, are you going to run for president? Are you going to do this, that? No, I want to be a doctor. I love being a doctor. I love taking care of people. I want to tell you guys a little story, and I'm getting a little off track here, but I was with my family in Copenhagen, and we had hired a guy who was an actor pretending to be Hans Christian Andersen, the child's book writer, and he came dressed in the Hans Christian Andersen sort of 19th century outfit with a top hat, and he took us around Copenhagen and was showing us this and showing us that. And the actor himself was a very left-leaning American who had gone to Copenhagen. He's lived there, and he's telling us about free healthcare and free education and free this and free that. Meanwhile, he doesn't have a car. Nobody there has a car because they have such a massive tax, like 100% tax on purchasing cars. So nobody in Denmark has a car. I'm being hyperbolic there. Not nobody, but it's very rare. And he's talking about how people love it. People love it. And my wife, whenever we travel and we come across people like this, she knows that it's like nails on a chalkboard for me to listen to this stuff, but she's grabbing my arm like, hey, listen, we're having a good time, just let the guy go and talk about how everything is free and amazing in Denmark and it's the greatest place ever, which Denmark was amazing. I love that place, but I don't like all the government control. Anyway, my daughter, who was maybe 9 or 10 at the time, is listening to this guy, free this, free that, and she looks to the guy and she goes, Mr., nothing is free. The only thing that changes is who pays. And I just looked at her like, that's my girl. And I gave her a big, big hug and a kiss. And the thing is, even my little daughter understands this, that nothing is free. And there are only two ways to allocate scarce resources, either a pricing system, a free market capitalist system, or government rationing. That's it. And when there is no incentive for people to produce goods and services, you don't get them. And that's why in free capitalist societies, there's great quality. There's lots of volume. There are lots of choices. And in socialized countries, you don't have any of that. They have starvation, right? And that's where they always go. And it's, you know, it's amazing to me how you had Danny Glover and Madonna and I can't blank on Sean Penn talking about how great Hugo Chavez was when he won the election in Venezuela. And they're just like, oh, Hugo Chavez, he's going to make Venezuela amazing. And then Venezuela immediately went into a totalitarian state. People were starving in the streets, eating flamingos. They've since emptied out all their prisons, and a lot of Venezuelans are coming here. And now we have Venezuelans taking over apartment buildings in Colorado. And it's funny. They literally implemented the entire Democrat policy, taking over industry like oil, taking over healthcare, taking over education, and the country completely collapsed. I want to say Venezuela was like the second richest country in the Western Hemisphere at one time. I might be wrong about that, but they were certainly more wealthy than they are now. And now their people are starving. And I didn't hear anybody talk about that. It's almost like they get what they want and then it fails and then they just ignore it, which is kind of what we call the discipline of failure. I'm always talking to my kids about people that go into government, they fail upward. Right? They just fail. There's no consequences for the failure because in government, there's no discipline of failure. For example, if you're a bridge builder and you have theories about how to build a bridge and they don't work, your bridge is going to collapse. That's what they call the discipline of failure. You have to get it right or it doesn't work. The government doesn't have this. And that's why our education is absolutely failing in this country. And, you know, we're going to have to change things. But anyway, this is an example of how our education system has failed. This is a Berkeley law professor being questioned by Josh Hawley at a congressional hearing and talking about women. Listen to this. Stand by.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thanks to all of the witnesses for being here. Before, I want to visit with you, Ms. Maskey, but before I do, I just want to clear one thing up. Professor Bridges, you said several times, you've used a phrase, I want to make sure I understand what you mean by it. You've referred to people with a capacity for pregnancy. Would that be women?
Many women, cis women, have the capacity for pregnancy. Many cis women do not have the capacity for pregnancy. There are also trans men who are capable of pregnancy, as well as non-binary people who are capable of pregnancy.
So this isn't really a women's rights issue.
We recognize that this impacts women while also recognizing that it impacts other groups. Those things are not mutually exclusive, Senator Hawley.
Oh, so your view is that the core of this right then is about what?
So I want to recognize that your line of questioning is transphobic, and it opens up trans people to violence by not recognizing that.
Wow, you're saying that.
You see what she's doing? This is hate speech.
Thank you, Mr.
Right?
Chairman. Thanks to all of the
She's telling Josh Hawley that, you know, this is hate speech. You're making me feel unsafe. And this is a Berkeley law professor, and we are literally having the conversation about whether or not women are the ones who can be pregnant. Now, listen. I am a doctor, and I think that does make me an expert, and I learned in medical school that there were two sexes, XX women, female, and XY is men, and females are the ones who get pregnant in the human species, okay? That's just a fact. But here we got a Berkeley law professor in a government hearing. Now listen, I want you guys to understand we are paying for that. I'm looking at, you guys can't see the video, but there looks like there's probably, I don't know, 20 or 30 people in here, and they're all getting paid by you and me to talk about whether or not women are the people they're talking about. Pick up on the end of this.
Recognize that your line of questioning is transphobic, and it opens up trans people to violence by not recognizing that.
Wow, you're saying that I'm opening up people to violence by asking whether or not women are the folks who can have pregnancies?
So I want to note that 1 out of 5 transgender persons have attempted suicide. So I think it's important
because of my line of questioning.
Because
so we can't talk about it.
Because denying that trans people exist and pretending not to know that they exist.
I'm denying that trans people exist by asking
you
if you're talking about women having pregnancies.
Do you?
I know you are, but what am I? I know you are, but what am I?
No,
it's a Berkeley law professor.
So you're denying that trans people exist.
And that leads to violence. Is this how you run your classroom? Are students allowed to question you,
absolutely,
or are they also treated like this?
No, no, no. They're
told that they're opening up people to violence.
We have a good time in my class. You should join.
I bet.
You might learn a lot.
Well, I would learn a lot. I've learned a lot.
Now I got to tell you, I went to Berkeley. And I was in a class, you know, back in those days, you used to have to take a little booklet and go to the actual class and try and get your units. And I was trying to fill out my last couple of units, and I took a class called Blacks and the Law. And so I went and I signed up for this class, and I was the only white kid in the class. This was back in the 80s. And the professor would call on me and ask me questions. I remember one time they were asking me, what I thought about capital punishment. Now I'm probably 19, 20 at the time. They asked me about this. I'd never given it a thought in my life. And I said something like, well, you know, I think if you commit three murders, you're a three-time loser, then capital punishment. And man, the whole class came down on me. Oh, you're a racist and all that. And I'm like, racist? I didn't even think about the color. I mean, no matter what color you are, you commit three murders, I think capital punishment should be on the table. And I remember going up to the professor after class and saying, bro, please don't call on me in class. Like, I get attacked all the time. This is not an open society. This is not free thinking. And I'm just sharing you that anecdote to let you know that this kind of control of the way we think and the inability to experience a pursuit of truth by just following where the truth leads us, like the fact that only women can get pregnant, it's being destroyed in this country. And a step towards reinstituting our freedom of thought also includes freedom of our healthcare again. Now, we're going to pick this up when we go, after we go to break. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Doctor's Lounge. I'm Dr. Scott Barber, and you're listening to us on America's Web Radio.
The Docs for Patient Care Foundation is your way to join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your healthcare freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. Get a pen and paper. Write down www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. That's www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. Go to our site and please make a generous tax-deductible donation and join the fight today. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mike Karuchak. Join me and my co-host, Dr. Hal Schurz, as we talk about the topics that doctors talk about amongst themselves, such as Medicare, Obamacare, alternative forms of care, and health information technology. Join us every Thursday morning, 8 to 9 a.m.
This is Dr. Hal Schurz from the Doctor's Lounge on America's Web Radio. I want to thank you for your support. Our show is brought to you by the Docs for Patient Care Foundation, which is the only physician-led healthcare think tank in the country. Our website is www.pcfoundation.org. We need you to support our organization so that we can continue to bring you this show and the information that you need so that you can support the healthcare of you and your family.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to the Doctor's Lounge. You're listening to Dr. Scott Barber on America's Web Radio. It was funny. I was just listening to that break from Mike, who used to be the host of this show, and he was talking about the fact that this show is supposed to be focused on conversations that we have in the Doctor's Lounge, which is sort of true, but I can tell you that these political conversations have all but disappeared over the last 20 years. People who think like me tend to keep their mouths shut in the hospital because we're not generally welcome. When I first came out, you would never see CNN on the TV in the Doctor's Lounge, and now it's almost always on CNN. And the machine has done a good job of selecting out for a politically left thinking people, and I can see at least how it has dramatically affected our healthcare in the way we do things. And I'm going to just use the mask as an example, and I feel like I can talk about the mask now without being persecuted too much. And the reason I feel that way is because the Cochrane Review came out and did a meta-analysis of masks and confirmed what every doctor knew before the pandemic started, was that those cloth masks, and actually any of masks, do not work to prevent the transmission of these flu-like viruses in vivo. That was a fact. And what the machine is trying to convince you is that somehow they were acting in good faith when we were all forced to wear masks for a couple of years. And then we learned information, and now the Cochrane Review has established that the masks don't work. That's not what happened. The politics changed, and people sort of pushed back against this, and they just sort of dropped it. There was no common, like, hey, we've all learned this, and let's move on. It just sort of went away, but nothing changed. And I'm telling you, every doctor on planet Earth worth their salt understood that those masks don't work, okay? And so we're living in a world where we're constantly being propagandized to, and if we don't learn to think independently and for ourselves, we're going to be in big trouble. Now, I can tell you we're already in big trouble. Now, one of the points I'm trying to make is this is not this dystopian future, this 1984 George Orwell thing, it's here. It is already here, especially in Western society. I want you to listen to this teacher. Enoch Burke was arrested at Wilson Hospital School in Ireland after refusing to endorse and affirm transgender ideology. For him, there's only two genders, male and female, because that's what there is, according to the science. And again, as a doctor and an expert on the subject, I feel I am allowed to say that. But I want you, some of this stuff loses a little bit because you can't see the video, but I want you to just listen to this. These are the police coming out to arrest this guy because he refuses to endorse and affirm transgender ideology. Stand by. It's coming up. Here we go.
To do what's wrong.
No,
to bring me before the court.
Even though there's abuse inside those gates.
Mutilation.
These are the police out front trying to take him away.
To tell students
you
they need to tell
puberty blockers. You're arresting him because he won't
He has objections about telling students that they need to take puberty blockers. I do too.
Said no, and he's been taken away in a guard the van.
Now, Enoch Burke didn't appear in court on Friday. I was there with my daughter, and of course we were removed from the court at the end for simply asking Justice Barry O'Donnell, did he not care that children are being abused at this stage in Irish schools? Because using the they pronoun is the first step in puberty blockers, abuse, surgery, terrible agony for young people, maybe regret, suicide.
What's going on here too, folks?
This is a fact.
That's the truth.
Justice Barry O'Donnell, sitting there waiting to interrogate my son when he would appear. Now, Justice Barry O'Donnell was nominated last year to be a judge of the High Court by our first gay or sodomite Taoiseach.
Okay, so I think you can kind of see the connection there, right? You've got a judge, right? We just played you the Berkeley law professor who's, you know, won't even engage in the conversation about the subject, right? Josh Hawley brings it up and she says, I just want you to know that your line of questioning is making me feel threatened and it's opening up violence. It's like, what are you talking about? We just want to have this conversation about, about the subject. And she's like, no, I'm not going to go there. Anything you say to me, you're violence and you're racist and you're homophobic. And it makes it impossible to really engage in any debates. My wife and I were talking about this just the other day. We can't even agree on what an apple is, right? And so you can't even move downstream. And you could see that in the debate last night, right? This has been going on my entire life, or I guess it was two nights ago now. But you could see it in the debate. We don't talk about any issues. We don't talk about taxation. We don't talk about immigration. We don't talk about anything. We just listened to the fake news media lie and aid and abet Kamala Harris lying on everything. Honestly, is there anything she said during the debate that wasn't true? Now, there were things that Kamala Harris said during the debate, and I have a lot of videos of her on tape saying things completely to the opposite. She said she didn't support a gun ban. She was not against, she said there was no place that allowed late term abortions. I mean, that's ridiculous. We know President Obama himself voted for afterbirth abortion three times, but we never talk about the subject. And in fact, I'm going to bring that up. We had somebody that was horrifically describing in just regular detail the process of performing an abortion. And I went to medical school, and I remember when I was going to medical school, you know, my story, I applied to medical school five times before getting accepted. And when I showed up there, I thought these people were just going to be the greatest people on the planet. And I was at an age, I was mature, I was ready to go. I wanted to learn everything. I learned everything. I mean, I really poured my heart and soul into it. And I remember when I was getting the highest grade in the class in OBGYN, I wanted to know about abortion, not because I was pro-abortion or anything. I wanted to understand the medicine of it, and nobody spoke of it. I would ask the attending physicians and the other, and they just, oh, we don't do that. And that was the end of it. We never learned about it. We never learned what happened, how it happens, what time it happened, nothing. In medical school, it's just not discussed. And now that I look at the whole world, it's like, yeah, we don't discuss things. We are propagandized to and manipulated to think certain things. Now, I think this is Colin Rugg off of X, put together a bunch of the lies that they said, that the mandatory firearm buybacks, the Find People hoax. Okay, so I talked at the beginning of the show that some of you out there might say, well, one of the debates was conducted by Fox News, which is right. No, the very Find People hoax. This was when they were tearing down statues back in the day, Civil War statues, and, you know, Trump correctly said pretty soon it's going to be George Washington and Thomas Jefferson. And of course, that is exactly what happened. And Trump was giving a speech about it, and he was saying that there were very fine people on both sides of the issue. And I was watching the exact speech, and what Trump was saying was that there were very fine people on the sides of the issue, meaning people who agree that taking down the statues is something we should do, and people like me who didn't believe mobs should be taking down these statues, that we should have an organized democratic way of deciding what statues we have in the public square. And they turned it into this that he called neo-Nazis and white supremacists very fine people, and he absolutely did not. And Fox News over the years allowed that to be passively propagated on their network when people knew that it wasn't true. People would be out there and bring up the Find People hoax. And that just went on for years and years and years, to the point where Biden still uses it. He used it in the debate with Trump, and it's just ridiculous. The post-birth abortion, I'm going to play you audio of Ralph Northam, the former governor of Virginia, talking about the baby will be born and it will be made comfortable and we will have a conversation and a decision will be made. A decision about what? You've got a human being laying there. A decision about what? About murdering it? Why don't we have conversations about this? Defunding the police, the bloodbath hoax, right? Trump was talking about the economic situation and the tariffs, and that if they, Harris and Biden, get back control, it'll be an economic bloodbath. And they tried to turn it into this whole, Trump is a violence guy, right? Just like this Berkeley law professor. Oh, you're asking me about gender and you're creating violence against me, so we can't have the conversation. They tried to suggest that Trump would ban IVF. Trump has been a leader pushing IVF. They tried to say that police officers were killed on January 6th. Okay. There was only one person killed on January 6th, and it was Ashley Babbitt. Okay. She was shot through the door by Capitol Hill police, for no reason. You want to talk about, criminal acts. I mean, my goodness, she was not posing a threat, and the guy shot right through the door. Totally unnecessary. Do any of you even know his name? Right. But when something like Michael Brown happens, or the Floyd, George Floyd and all that, it just goes on and on and off, right? There's no discussion or pursuit of objective truth. It's just pushing narratives. So there were no police officers killed on January 6th. In fact, our lying news media, there was a guy who died of a heart attack like the day after or 2 days after, and they're constantly trying to insinuate that he was killed on January 6th. It's a lie. She said she didn't want to ban fracking. Not true. We got video showing that she did ban fracking. She tried to pin Trump to Project 2025, which is something of the Heritage Foundation. Trump has nothing to do with the Project 2025, other than I don't even know what the Project 2025 thing is, but they're trying to tie Trump to it, and it's not true. After the debate, CNN claimed that Kamala lied one time and Trump lied 33 times. I mean, this is utterly ridiculous type stuff, and you need to understand it. And I'm hoping that in stark contrast, you can see that the media, they're not making mistakes. Okay. It's not like, hey, I tried to get you the information. I thought it was this date. Turns out it was another date, or I thought he had a gun. It was a pistol. It's not that kind of stuff. They are actively lying about stuff, and they've done it for everything, right? We talked about on this show many times about the New England Journal of Medicine and The Lancet, the number one and two medical journals on the face of the earth, and the fact that they came out with fake, made-up, lying studies that hydroxychloroquine was not only ineffective in the treatment of COVID, but that was cardiotoxic. And these studies had to be retracted 2 weeks after they were published because they got busted making the data up. And even when I talk to my own friends, they use this, their belief is like, oh, well, you know, the Lancet and the New England Journal of Medicine, they were working hard to get information out at a time when people needed it, and they just got it wrong. That's not what happened. They made it up. They lied. And until you start understanding that we are constantly being propagandized to, and that we're going to have to learn how to sift through information and how to reach objective truth at our own, by ourselves, doing our own research, we're going to be in big trouble. And listen, it's not going to be easy with AI coming up and the ability to create fake videos. You can make a video now of somebody committing any act you want, and it's going to be impossible for us to tell if the video is true. And the plan is always to just muddy the waters. Just make it so that you don't know what to believe. And that makes us even easier to manipulate. And so we're going to have to even be more on our guard to figure out how to get to objective truth. Now, this is a montage that was put on X by Dave Rubin at the Rubin Report, and it kind of shows some of the lies. I want to listen to this real quick.
He will sign a national abortion ban.
It's a lie. I'm not signing a ban, and there's no reason to sign a ban.
Understand, in his Project 2025, there would be a national abortion monitor.
What she says is an absolute lie.
There is no state in this country where it is legal to kill a baby after it's born.
Nowhere in America.
Okay, so here's a couple of things. She's making the assertion that Trump is going to sign an abortion ban that comes across his desk. I just have to tell you, the reality is our country, sadly, is not in a place where they would favor an across-the-board abortion ban, okay? So that legislation is never going to come across Trump's desk. So the idea of asking him to sign it is a false choice. He's never going to see a bill in his presidency that's going to ban abortions, okay? But what we don't talk about is when is it too late to get an abortion, right? That question never came up. They're trying to suggest that Trump wants to ban all abortions, which is totally not true. Trump has limitations on his, and actually a lot of pro-life advocates are actually mad at Trump because he's not pro-life enough, even though he's been the most pro-life president in the history of the world, getting a reversal of Roe v. Wade, which, by the way, all Roe v. Wade was a national abortion bill. All this did by repealing Roe v. Wade was it sent the decisions back to the states, which, if you believe we're a constitutional republic, that's where something like that should be. It's not in the Constitution. There's no constitutional amendment by it. And, we can get into the corruption of the Supreme Court passing Roe v. Wade on another show. But the point is, they try to make this narrative that somehow repealing Roe v. Wade was banning abortions, and that's not at all what it was. Now, they were making the assertion that nowhere do they do late-term abortions. And in fact, there are 8 states that have no defined limit on when an abortion can take place. And I'm going to play you Governor Ralph Northam in a second, showing you exactly what they think.
Is a woman carrying a pregnancy to term and asking for an abortion?
The infant would be delivered.
There it is.
The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mothers.
Wait, so a baby is born, and he's saying if the doctor and the mother want to resuscitate it, that would be done. They'd keep it comfortable, and then a conversation would be had. A conversation about what? About murdering a human being? Now, folks, I think that's something we should talk about. How many of you out there are for that? Even if you're pro-abortion, how many of you are for murdering a baby that's already born? I want to know, because if that's the majority of opinion out there, which I know it's not, but if that was, we'd really be in a sad state.
Trump, the candidate, has said in this election there will be a bloodbath if this and the outcome of this election is not to his liking.
It was a different term, and it was a term that related to energy. We're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I get elected... Now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath.
Let's remember Charlottesville. There were fine people on each side.
Very fine people on both sides. And I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists, because they should be condemned totally.
Tim Walz and I...
Okay, I'm not talking about the neo-Nazi. He said that right after the very fine people. That was edited a little bit. But when you listen to the original speech, he specifically said there are very fine people on both sides of the issue. He goes, I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis or the white supremacists. They should be condemned totally. So when people try to talk to me about, oh, Fox News is a right-wing outlet, they're not. They let that lie be propagated years and years and years and years. And it's really frustrating to me. Because we are constantly being propagandized to. And this is another thing. A lot of times, and listen, I'm not here to say Trump is a great guy or not a great guy. He was definitely the best president in our lifetime. Hang on a sec.
The presidential debate
He was, he's definitely been the best president in my lifetime. We had no new wars started. The Middle East peace deals he got, the Abraham Accords, that would be Nobel Prize winning stuff if it was anybody on the left. He did so much in terms of getting us out of the Paris Climate Accord. We were energy independent. The border was as secure as it's ever been. The economy was the best it had been in 50 years. We had record economies for minorities and women. I mean, on and on and on. Objectively, just the best presidency of all time. Now, as far as the guy goes, it's like he's not a perfect human being. Okay, great. That's fine. So I you know, whatever. But neither was Clinton, right? Clinton had the Monica Lewinsky thing, and you know, people just ignore that stuff. And so I'm always asking people, why do you think what you think? You get like virtually 100% negative coverage from the media about Trump. And, you know, for other people on the Democrat side, it's nothing but positive stuff. And then they ignore things like with Obama. How many of you have ever heard that he voted for afterbirth abortion three different times? You know, they just kind of skip this stuff. And it's, I'm asking people, like, why do you think what you would think? And a lot of times, even family members, I'll say, oh, I hate Trump. He's now this and that. And I'm like, okay, what? And they'll say like, oh, you know, everything. And I'm like, well, I'm not asking you for everything. Just give me one example. And oh, I can't. And it's like, exactly. That's how we engage in critical thinking. Like, why do you think what you think? Now, you know, she said she didn't want to ban fracking. We're getting close to the end of the show, so I'm not going to waste time playing her in her own words saying that she absolutely is against banning fracking. Now, I also have this cut here about AOC giving a speech talking about how people need to add COVID to their death certificate so they can get a $9,000 government payout. And I got to tell you, that one just chaps my hide. Here we are plummeting into debt, trillions and trillions of dollars into debt. And, you know, and the government is just spending money, sending it hand over fist to Ukraine. They're doing this COVID BS. And, you know, these people are dangerous. And I want you to listen to Fauci and Birx admitting that the vaccines were not fully studied and that they didn't work. Listen to this.
Is the most important event in most people's lives.
Tucker Carlson.
We need to study it more. Oh, but it's too
late. Oh, hang on a sec.
We just...
All right, here we go.
Menstruating cycles and how that is affected by vaccines.
Yeah, the menstrual thing is something that seems to be quite transient and temporary. That's the point. That's one of the points. We need to study it more. Oh, we need to study it more. We need to study more. It's just like human fertility, reproducing the species, the most important event in most people's lives. We need to study it more. Oh, but it's too late. We just forced millions of women to take that drug. Sorry. So how did they release a vaccine and then make it mandatory when they didn't understand the long-term effects of the drug? That's a very good question. Here's Deborah Birx. She's the former White House COVID response director, again on Fox News.
I knew these vaccines were not going to protect against infection, and I think we overplayed the vaccines and it made...
Do Did you hear what she just said right there? I knew these vaccines were not going to protect against infection. They mandated that we take these vaccines, and they knew it wasn't going to work. Unbelievable to me.
People then worry that it's not going to protect against severe disease and hospitalization. It will, but let's be very clear. 50% of the people who died from the Omicron surge were older, vaccinated.
What? Stop the press. Quote, I knew these vaccines were not going to protect against infection. Really, Deborah Birx? But somehow you forgot to mention that as people were being fired from their jobs for not taking this on the premise that if they took it, they would never be infected. When do you get criminally charged? Soon, we hope.
Yeah, and that's where I'm at, too. When are these people going to be criminally charged? Because this is a joke. And listen, the data is coming out just how toxic these vaccines are in a lot of cases, killing young people, the myocarditis, the chronic diseases that people are experiencing as a result of these vaccines. There's more and more data coming out. I haven't really touched on it because I'm just waiting for the full thing to drop. But I want you to listen to former FDA director Peter Marks when he's being questioned in a congressional hearing about the avalanche of adverse effects.
February 2024 VAERS reports for COVID-19 vaccines total significantly higher than all other vaccines combined since 1990, as reported. This is a surprising figure. Dr. Marks, was the government prepared for such an avalanche of reports to VAERS? And it kind of goes with what we just mentioned. So,
Chair Wenstrup, thank you so much for that question. And I apologize about your name before. It shows when you're nervous, things can happen. But the point is extremely well taken. We tried to be prepared for that, but the avalanche of reports was tremendous. And it, again, required retasking people on the fly. I'll let my CDC colleagues speak to this. We had to usually staff up, and had many meetings, working to.
Now listen, folks, this is just unacceptable. These government agencies telling us how to behave. They're talking about vaccine passports, trying to get us into these World Health Organization health treaties and things like that. Now, I had a buddy of mine. He's an NFL football player and his daughter had an issue. And so I called up one of my friends who's a pediatrician asking for a reference for a girl, a five-year-old, and a pediatrician who would see them who was unvaccinated. And honestly, I expected this friend of mine who thinks very much like I do to be like, yeah, bro, I'll take care of it. I'm on it. And what I got was, yeah, just go to urgent care. Like, yeah, we don't have anybody like that. And I'm thinking to myself, what in the world is going on in our society? It is perfectly rational to have questions about vaccines. I mean, this autism rate that has gone through the roof over the last decades that seems to be associated with these vaccines, and at the very least, because how many people are concerned about it, deserves open and honest discussion. But they keep hitting us with terms like you're an anti-vaxxer and a hater and a racist and a homophobe and you're not listening to the experts and you're not following the science. That's ridiculous. In medicine, we take care of drug addicts, murderers, people who kill people in drunk driving. And the only time that we ever hear about withholding care is kids who aren't vaccinated and adults who didn't want to take the COVID vaccine. The COVID vaccine, which, by the way, if you listen to me on this show, it was obvious to me that it wasn't worth the risk. It was a new drug. And I knew that I and my family were not at risk by just looking at the data myself. You know what? Doing my own research, and people like us were persecuted for that. We have got to open our eyes. Again, I didn't even get to half the stuff I have on here. I'll have to pick it up. This is going to be like the world's longest podcast. I think I'm like four or five in a row talking on the same subject, but it's just so important. If we don't learn to think for ourselves, do our own research, if we don't re-engage with freedom of thought and the ability to find objective truth in this world, we're gonna fall. And I just gotta also, I'm gonna end with this. I just read the most amazing book. It's called The Book That Made Your World by Vishal Magawadi. It is literally one of the best books I've ever read. It talks about how Western civilization and everything awesome all emanated from Christianity. I encourage all of you to go out and read this book. It's changed my life. I'm even considering maybe I'm gonna be a pastor. That's how powerful this was. But I hope you guys enjoyed the show. We got a big election coming up. Make sure you get everybody out to vote. Make sure you guys get out to vote. You're listening to Dr. Scott Barber on the Doctor's Lounge. This is America's Web Radio. Have a great week. I'll see you next time.
The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.